We're in the book of Colossians and chapter 2 to start us out. Colossians and chapter 2. Start getting into this warm and humid weather now. That's all right, I'll take it over the cold. Colossians and chapter 2. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've done for us in this dispensation of grace. Father, we thank you that you've provided everything that's necessary for the salvation of every man, woman, and child. We thank you, Father, that you've carried out and fulfilled, gloriously fulfilled your plan, that all fullness would dwell in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for opening our eyes. And we pray, Lord, for everyone out there who has this great salvation available to them, Father, that they would see it, that their eyes would be opened. Lord, that as it is your will, that all men would be saved. Father, we thank and praise you for the opportunity to be a part of that. In our Savior's name, amen. Colossians and chapter 2. Let's read just a few verses here, beginning in verse 6. Paul writes in Colossians 2 and verse 6, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." All right, we can stop there. This is a passage that's familiar, I think, to most of us, very familiar. It's a passage, the whole chapter here in Colossians chapter 2 is about that kind of central theme there in verse 10, that you are complete in Christ. And we talk about that a lot in our identification in Christ, what it means to be in Christ. Our completeness in him and what that means to us. What I'd like to take a look at this morning is what that completeness looks like and what it means to God, to the Father, to be able to, as he formulated his plan of salvation and of that absolute complete fullness in Christ, that everything would be gathered together in one in him, and to be able to formulate and carry out that plan to make you and I an integral part of that. What that we think about that and we rejoice in that and we glory in that and we praise God for that, for all that it means to us. But it means something to him. Paul says in Ephesians 1, come over there, Ephesians chapter 1. Just a couple of books back to your left. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says in verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." So Paul wants us to know not only what our inheritance is, but he says, I'm praying that God would give you the spirit to know Him, to know about His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance, and that riches of glory of God's inheritance, Paul says here, is in the saints, is in you and me. So when we talk about that completeness in Christ that you and I enjoy, what does that look like to the Father? Well, come with me to start, just again, one book back to your left in Galatians and chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Paul says in verse 26, Galatians 3:26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So Paul says that by your baptism, which is also what Paul is talking about there among the many things he touches on in our opening passage in Colossians 2. After he says you're complete in Christ, he goes on to talk about our circumcision in Him, our baptism with Him. And that baptism gives us what we call our identification. We are baptized into Christ. It's by virtue of that baptism that we are placed into Christ. And the way Paul says that here, he says, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And the idea there, you get the kind of visual of an external kind of a cloak. And the thought there is the appearance. You look like Christ. Now that's from the Father's perspective. No one saw that baptism when you were baptized into Christ. You didn't see it. No one else saw it. God the Father saw it. And when you were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. So that when God now looks at you, He sees His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, we know that, and we hear that, and we say that all the time. And we think about it in terms of what it means to us. But for God to be able to do that, He sees His Son, what used to be a mass of sinful, unworthy human beings for God to even cast His eyes upon. Now, He can look at every one of us and see His Son and see Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm praying that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him to understand how He looks at this. What is He gaining from this? What's His glory? What's His inheritance? God is able to look at you and see the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that's all He sees. when he looks at you. Now, you can't hardly think about that without getting happy about what that means to you, right? And that's all right, we should. But you also want to have that perspective from the Father's point of view. Because what you want to do, come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. What you want to do is you want to see yourself the way God sees you. And you can't do that if you don't know how God sees you. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Just to say it and to think about it in terms of myself and what it means to me, it's hard to imagine myself looking like the Lord Jesus Christ, that when someone looks at me, especially God the Father, that he would see Jesus Christ. See, it's hard for me to get a grasp of that because I'm thinking about it in terms of me. What we want to do is we want to think about it in terms of the Father. What's in his eyes? What does he see? Then we can get a better idea of how we need to look at ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this is another passage that we're all familiar with, but it's another passage that talks about who we look like. And, of course, that image, that's in the eyes of God. And Paul says here that what we need to do is we need to look at ourselves with open face, that is, honestly, according to truth. Now, can I tell you, when you look at your own self in the mirror of your own self-perception, that you can't look at yourself according to truth when you do that. You can't. Because what you're going to see is you're going to see your own flaws, your own faults, your own flesh. Paul says what you want is you want to be able to look at yourself according to truth. You want to see yourself the way God sees you. So we look into this mirror, Paul says, as beholding with open face, beholding as in a glass. And that mirror, of course, is this book, the Word of God. Is a mirror. The Word of God was a mirror before we got saved. That's when it pointed out all our faults and all our flaws. We looked at ourselves, we saw ourselves in the Word of God, and we saw how far short all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it served as a mirror then, so that we could see our need, get saved, and now it still serves as a mirror. But what do I see when I look into that mirror now? I'm beholding with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. That's what I see now in that mirror when I look at myself. Only in the Word of God. That is, here's how God sees you. And then what happens? As we do that, as we continue to behold in that glass ourselves according to truth, we are in fact changed into that same image. So that we actually begin to look more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just in our position, but in our life and in our condition. So, we look like the Lord Jesus Christ to the Father. When he looks at us, he sees his Son. Come with me to Romans chapter 8. Because we don't just look like Christ. Romans chapter 8, we're talking about our completeness in Him and what that means to the Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So when we pray, Paul says, we come up short. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. But how does God see that? What does God hear? He hears the Spirit. That's the Spirit of His Son in you crying, "Abba, Father." So you and I, we don't just look like Christ to the Father. We sound like Him. When we pray, when we speak to God, He hears His Son. You don't ever have to worry about not knowing how to pray. You just pray. You just talk to God. When you do that, He's hearing His Son. And the Spirit is making intercession for you according to His perfect will. And you can have that confidence that that's your relationship. You pray and God is looking at you and He sees His Son. And He's hearing what you're saying and He's hearing His Son. Now, again, what that's going to do, come over to Colossians chapter 3. We're running a lot this morning, but we're staying in Paul, so it's not too bad. Colossians 3. Like I said, we spend a year and a half in some other place in the Bible, and it's all good and wonderful, and I enjoy it, but I long for some concentration of Pauline truth every now and then, so we gotta come back and make sure that we're staying grounded here in what God's doing with us today. Colossians chapter 3, I'm in Philippians. Colossians 3 and verse 16, Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So, in verse 17, then he says, "Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So, knowing that you sound like God's Son to Him, what is that going to do? What's that going to do for you? Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Don't just sound like the Lord to the Father. Sound like the Lord. Let His word dwell in you so that other people who hear you hear Christ. Now that comes from your understanding that the Father already hears you that way. And He delights in hearing you. He delights in hearing His Son. And if you can get a little bit of that spirit of revelation of what that means to Him, then you can start to be filled with that fullness of God in these things. So Paul says, look, the word of Christ, basically, the word of Christ is already dwelling in you. When you pray, the Spirit's praying for you according to the will of God. Let it dwell in you. Know it. Get it. Let it live. Let it become a part of you. and speak like Christ. And he says we do that and we teach and we admonish one another and we sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And what does the Lord hear when we sing to him? He hears his Son. And whatever we do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know what it means when you pray and you end all your prayers with, in Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? What a privilege that is. What a divine, almost incomprehensible blessing that is to be able to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's who God hears. You look like Christ. You sound like Christ. Come back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." So we are the children of God. So we ought to follow him as children. "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So the Lord Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice, in his offering for us, that was a sweet-smelling savor to God. God smelled that pleasant aroma of his sacrifice and was pleased. Now come over to 2 Corinthians in chapter 2. Verse 14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish." So Paul says that the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself to God a sweet-smelling savor. But he says, we are a sweet-smelling savor to God. And not just a sweet-smelling savor, but we are a sweet savor of Christ. We carry the smell of Christ. We smell like him to God the Father. We look like him. We sound like him. We smell like him. See, now it's not just that external, it's not just that appearance. We look like Christ to the Father. But now it goes deeper than that. You start smelling like him. That's coming from down deep. And Paul says we are that as we live this Christian life, letting that word of Christ dwell in us richly, teaching, admonishing one another, talking to people who are without. And he says that God always causes us to triumph in Christ. And this is the context, preaching the gospel. Say, I don't always triumph. As a matter of fact, I very rarely do. Seems like nobody wants to believe. Paul says, no, God always causes us to triumph in Christ because we are that sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. You think God cherishes your service less if the other person responds negatively? In either case, we are a sweet savor of Christ to the Father. So that's what we do. We live and we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly so that we sound like Him and we walk in wisdom toward them that are without. And that sweet aroma of Christ's sacrifice emanates from us. And God the Father smells His Son, that sweet aroma, in you. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, verse 10. Paul says, he's praying, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So you and I, we can be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now we're talking about taste. You look like Christ. You sound like Christ. You smell like Christ. Now we're talking about that fruit. And what does Paul say? That fruit being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So that fruit that you're able to bear, that fruit of the Spirit, that's of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's bearing that fruit. And when God tastes that fruit, it tastes like the fruit, the glory, the praise that Christ Himself produces and generates. That's coming from you. In Christ, you taste like Him. We're talking about your completeness in Christ. And what does that mean to God? Just how complete are you? How does He see you? 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2, this is the man in Corinth who was eventually at Paul's rebuke kicked out of the church, and in as a result of 1 Corinthians, now 2 Corinthians, Paul is saying, okay, that's enough, he's repented, welcome him back in. And he says in verse 10, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. So Paul says, when I forgive this guy here in particular, he says, I do that, I did that, and I do that in the person of Christ. When I forgive someone, it is Christ forgiving them. Now that doesn't mean you can absolve someone from their sins. It's talking about you and your spirit. And how do you bear that fruit? We do it in the person of Christ by virtue of being in Him. So again, that fruit is His. He's the one who bears it, and He bears perfect fruit. It never spoils. And you don't pick a sour one off the tree. There are no sour ones. It's all good. It all tastes wonderful. That's what God experiences. He enjoys that fruit of yours. But that's His Son's. And He's able to do that with you. Now look, He knows it's you. We're not fooling God. You know, you remember with Isaac and Jacob and Esau, and Isaac tells Esau to go out and catch me some venison and bring it back, that kind that I love, and make it for me so I can bless you and so that you can inherit the blessings. And Esau says, yeah, and he goes out and he does that, and all of a sudden Rebekah goes, hey, Jacob, I got an idea. Says, I'm going to cook you up some venison the way your dad likes, and you're going to bring it into him. The old man is blind. He won't know it's you. And Jacob says, yeah, but Esau's a hairy guy, and I'm a smooth guy. And she says, that's all right. And she puts sheep wool on him, goat's hair, whatever it was, on his arms and make him hairy. And she gets Esau's clothes and she puts that on so he smells like his brother and he feels like his brother. That's not what we're talking about here. He comes in, the poor old man is blind and obviously losing more of his senses than that, because you wouldn't think some sheepskin strapped to his arms would do the trick, but it did. He came in and he heard his voice and he said, that's not the voice of Esau. You sound like Jacob. He says, come over here. And he comes closer and he smells him and he touches his arms, his hands, and he goes, okay, well, you sound like this one, but you smell and you feel like this one, so I guess it's you. That's not God. God's not a blind old man. He knows who you are. He knows who you are better than you know who you are. And He knows who He's made you to be. And this is how He relates to you. This is your fullness in His eyes. You look like Christ. You sound like Christ. You smell like Christ. You taste like Christ. Philippians, we're here in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. A couple pages back. Paul ends this first epistle to the Corinthians in verse 23 and 24. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all. In Christ Jesus. Amen. See, my love in Christ. So, when it comes to that fruit, now our love, you and I, we understand that love is not, it's not about a feeling, at least it's not born of that. It's about some understanding, and you love someone in truth and without dissimulation. But that doesn't mean that there isn't feeling attached to that. It's not some kind of pure intellectual assent. I've done the calculations and determined that I love you. There's a feel to that. You know what Paul tells the Philippians? He says, I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. See, that's this. My love in Christ. Now that's talking about in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That's talking about the feeling. That's talking about the compassion and the desire and the longing. So now, you look like Christ, and you sound like Christ, and you smell like Christ, and you taste like Christ, and you feel like Him. I think that's all the senses, isn't it? That's completeness. That's God's relationship with you. That's how He lives it and enjoys it, moment by moment. And it's a part of His inheritance that He was able to do that and make you a part of His glory and His inheritance. Just a couple of closing verses here, Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, Paul says, we're going to couple this with Philippians chapter 1. So this is going to be a pair, but get this one first. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So Paul says, I'm alive, but I'm dead. And I'm living a life in my flesh, but that life that I'm living is not me. It's Christ. Your life is Him, is His. Now, that's not a statement of choice on the apostle's part. It's a statement of fact. It simply is. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's a positional truth. That's how God sees it and knows it. Now, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So now, there's that position. I'm crucified with Christ, but I, nevertheless, I live, and it's not me, it's Him living in me. That's a positional statement. So now here's Paul saying, to me. This is how I reckon it now. To live is Christ. And Paul is taking that position, seeing himself as God sees him, acknowledging that and saying, you know what? That's true, not just in the eyes of the Father, but to me to live is Christ. And that those eyes of God, as Paul grew more and more to know Him, and to see things through his eyes, he was able to see himself. So that he could say now, it's not just here's how God sees me. Here's how I see me. Here's how I reckon it. To me, to live is Christ. And that's all those things. To look like Him, to sound like Him, to smell like Him, to taste like Him, to feel like Him. To live is Christ. That's something of our completeness, the completeness that God has given to us, what it looks like to Him, just how complete your identification is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to get a sense of what God gets out of that. that it's a delight to Him to be able to see you that way. And when you see that, it'll become a delight to you, and a joyous privilege that you will cling to, and desire and long to walk in. And I'm done. Boy, I'm not even over my time today. Do you have a question or a comment? Yes, sir. What you got, Rich?
So, basically, the way I see it is, the more we try to strive to be like Christ, the more we will look and smell and taste like Him.
The more you understand that you already look like Him, the more you will. Okay. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. If I'm striving to be like Christ, then what I'm seeing in that glass is something that falls short. Now I got to get there. Paul says you don't want to do that. You want to see the glory of the Lord in that mirror when you look at yourself. Know that you're already there, and that's what will bring you there. It is faith. God, the only response that grace will accept is faith. So if we're going to grow in grace, the only way that's going to happen is to believe, to acknowledge, to confess what God has done. Believe His word, and God will honor that faith, and you will grow by that faith. He'll cause the growth in response to your faith. It is acknowledging. It's believing. We walk by faith and not by sight.
Okay, I guess where I was thinking was, this past week I was with someone that says, yes, I believe in the rapture, but we're nowhere near, really.
Okay.
Okay, so thinking about other people that want to pick and choose God's word. Mm-hmm. I'll take a little bit of that, I don't like that.
Yeah.
So it just seems like God puts the blinders onto those people. Or is it their wanting to pick and choose that is doing them?
Yeah, I guess I'm not, was there something else other than he didn't believe the rapture was soon? I don't think it's a matter of...
Other people too, like people that want to argue over the homosexual world, all this and that, they just think that the world is plowing along just fine and they don't see anything about the change.
Well, Paul says right after that mirror passage in the next few verses that if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. And Satan has he's all about darkness and blinding people. God isn't, God wants everybody to be saved today. He's not putting blinders on people. He's shining the light. It's the God of this world that blinds their minds, yeah. The Word of God can bust through that. But, again, either way, we're a sweet savor to God, whether they accept or don't accept, by doing what we're called to do. Yeah, Dwayne.
You know, I'm learning more that everything that we're enjoying is made possible by a work of God. It's God who baptized us into Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And our whole thing is to believe it. The battle that we had, Paul said, I fought the good fight of faith to believe.
Yeah.
And we can't walk in a lot of things that God has done, but we're not believing it. And
yeah, because otherwise...
We're in a fight with the realities we see in this world that come against the truth of realities that God has
seen. Yeah, absolutely.
Done for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't want to find yourself in that position of Jacob, where you're trying to fool the old man into trying to look like somebody you're not. And if I can just do this and do that, then God'll see what He wants to see. God's not a blind old man. God knows who you are. What we need to do is we need to acknowledge who He's actually made us to be and to rejoice and abide in that. Paul says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in him. We received him by faith in what he did. That's how we walk, by faith in what he's done. Yeah, Beth.
I never noticed before how clear that line is drawn between all the other religions. And the truth is because every other religion that I can think of puts all the focus on correcting yourself and getting better and focusing on your sin. You know, even the reincarnation is that you keep getting better and better the more you come back and stuff
right.
like that, you know.
Yeah.
This is the only one that really... It is grace. It's just a gift.
Yeah, that's a great point. It is all him. Paul says, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. And that's what's happening today. It's all him. Like Dwayne just said, it's an operation of God that baptized us, that circumcised us, that crucified us, that resurrected us, that gave us the position in heaven. It's all him. And it's by that work that holiness begins to show itself in us. Yeah, Paul.
At least the scriptures say that Christ said we can do nothing without him. And I mean, you clearly proved that point today.
It's all him. It's all him. Otherwise, what's left? It's me? Yeah, enough said. Yeah, Alex.
That Galatians 2:20 is very, very powerful.
Yeah, it is.
That is powerful scripture.
Yeah.
You know, you speak to someone that is unsaved, and you repeat those words, and they go to the heart of that person. I really believe that they do.
Yeah.
They won't accept it. They don't want any part of it. They back off. They say, you religious freak, you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes,
but
I do.
Those scriptures, if you state them to them, boy, they go to the heart. I don't care what you say. I've used that scripture, and I'll tell you, it affects a person.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, the totality of it is striking. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Joanne. It goes all the way back to the beginning in Genesis that it was God who breathed life into us. He gave us the life.
There you go.
He gave us the senses to give back to him.
Amen. Otherwise, we're just a dead lump of clay, right? We're dirt. Yes, we are. All right.
I'm gonna get this in.
All right, get that in.
This last one. This verse that you found, this verse that you led us to right here, 2 Corinthians verse 10, where he says, for your sakes, I forgave it in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, when you read a verse like that, and then you read a verse like Romans 8:1, where he says, now there is no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I always was wondering about what it means, because we use this term all the time, in Christ Jesus,
yeah.
This, in Christ Jesus, that. Now I understand from this verse in 2 Corinthians, he's talking about in the person of Christ Jesus.
Yeah, all right.
We've been baptized into the person of Christ. And that's where our peace is, where our victory is.
Everything. All the fullness of God, yeah.
And it's not in us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's in him.
In the person of Christ. Amen. Amen.
Does that go with last week's with the freedom from sin, that because people sin against God, they would sin against us, so we can't forgive them. Christ forgives them.
Yeah.
And we can forgive them.
From Amen. All right, thanks, y'all.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Real beautiful.